Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Wow. An amazing morning. I am going to be brief and amazing. Thank you for, if you're relatively new here or a guest first time this morning, my name is Tom Kyle. That's my wife, Randy, in the front row, first row with me. And we have the privilege of serving this community. We thank you for coming here. It's already been a really long, really full morning. You may think, gosh, when do the songs stop? When does worship stop? Well, that's our question every week, and we don't know. But what we do, and we make no excuse for, we don't apologize for, and anyway, we love the presence of God. We love worshiping Him. For me, it is my highlight of every week, is coming together and worshiping together. And so we hope and trust and pray, if you are a guest amongst us, well, for everyone, but especially those I'm addressing now, newish people, our prayer is that you would encounter Jesus. You would hear His voice. You would understand His comfort, His peace, His love. It's unconditional. It's overwhelming. It's intoxicating. It changes you forever. It's almost like something I heard somebody say a long time ago, and it's a really poor illustration, but it helps me. It's like when you're growing up and your grandmother can cook. Anybody have a grandmother that could cook?
Yeah.
Anybody have a grandmother that couldn't cook? Yes. Yeah, that was me. Had some of those. But if you had a grandmother who could cook, you know, and she made something special, whether it was gravy on biscuits and gravy, just priming to pump for lunch. I think Randy's cooking for everybody that wants to come over today. She's laughing. But it's forever. It's grandma's gravy. And you go to a horrible place like Cracker Barrel or some of the other places, and they serve biscuits and gravy, and you're like, this is nice, it's a little like paste, you know, but it's just not quite like grandma's. Grandma's ruins you forever. It's the pork sausage. Eat the mic, you know, later. But it sets a standard, and it's almost like everything else is measured against it. And for us as believers, the presence of God, everything is measured against it. You know, you can have the most amazing experiences, and there's amazing experiences, but the presence of God, it leaves me wanting more always. And so, yes, we worship a lot. We had two or three great messages already from Becca. Amazing. Thank you. Mark, amazing. Thank you. We love our worship team. And it's just a privilege coming every week for Randy and I. We love being part of this family and serving this family. It's outstanding. I'm just going to share for just a few minutes. I almost said a couple of minutes. That would have been alive. Just a couple of minutes. On your way out, did anybody notice any new little sign or signs out front by the sign Bellow Creek as you're pulling in? If you came in this way, you might have missed it. Can I encourage you on the way out to consider going out through that avenue out that way and or stopping somehow in the night? It was Christmas elves, Fort Zumwalt South elves. I don't know what elves were out there, but there's like 4, 5, 6 little, what do they call those? Stands?
Letter stands.
Letter stands. Yeah. Yard signs. And they're just stuck in our yard, our grass. And it's from Fort Zumwalt South for us. Someone from the school put signs out front for us as a church saying thank you for the little bit that we do for that high school and the school district over there. Just acknowledging appreciation for what a group of people continue to do and loving the kids, loving the staff. And as part of like the care portal that Jenny and Dana so beautifully talked about, have you ever felt like in your life, is what I'm doing making any difference? Anybody ever thought that?
Yeah.
Is it worth the bother? Whether it's, you know, people cleaning up after your kids for the 94,000th time, And you think, is what I'm doing making any difference? Does anybody actually notice? Does anybody, is it worth anything? And as I was walking in this morning, I had no idea the signs were going to be out there facing the road. And I'm just, you know, bumbling along, you know, I'm trying not to get hit by cars and, you know, walking nimbly across the street. And I stopped and I looked up and it's like this thank you from the school to a local church. And I'm like, huh. You know, but I'm just saying it's what you folks are doing. You know, we have people serving the concession stands over at the football games because they need workers, but workers that they trust. We have people who've been handing out bottles to bus drivers, a coffee truck for teachers, folks every Friday during football season, helping set up and tear down, feeding the football team. There's just so much that's happening. And the funny thing is, John Block, John Roger, could you guys stand up for just a second? Okay, that's a second. You can sit back down. As a man of my word, I didn't, you know. This church started September of 2013, and our prayer, we came here 1 year later, basically, 10 months later into this building, and we began praying for that school across the street. And we prayed for 7 years for access into that school. It seemed like, where do we start? We don't know anybody. How do you serve a high school? Where do we go? And then stupid COVID happened, and the school came to us and said, they have needs. Can you help us as a school? And we began serving and blessing and encouraging. And it's a half of 1%. But all I can say is people noticed. Yeah. The people at the school noticed.
Right.
And so for all those people who have prayed, John and Audrey Block and the teams of people that pray here for community impact, that people would feel the love of Jesus. I don't know how many little yard signs the school puts out in church yards. I don't think very many. There's not that many churches that actually face that school. That is irrelevant. But I just want to say what a privilege it is to love people. What a privilege it is to serve people. Because we've been given life. We've been given grace. We've been given salvation. We've been, you know, if we know and love Jesus, we've been forgiven for all of our sins forever. We have eternity waiting for us. But in this life, to know that somebody notices you loving them, somebody noticing that you care for them, for me, it makes it all worthwhile. I don't need a whole lot in life, but just to know somebody felt the love of God and said thank you. Friends, okay, I'm not saying that's it. I'm not saying that's good and I'm good forever. But I just want to say to the people here, this church family, Jesus answers prayers.
Yes.
He's faithful to his word.
Yes.
And sometimes the simplest thing, taking a water bottle to a bus driver, going and serving in a concession stand and throwing Skittles out, you know, at happy people. Sometimes it doesn't take a whole lot. And we have this care portal, an opportunity to love people in our community. They send their request through by email and we get to choose yes. Can't do it, can't do it, can't do it, yes. And so I've heard from so many different Christians over 45 years of being a believer, what can I do? I just want to do something. I want to involve in some way. Here is an amazing way to do something. Whether you're going to go buy some diapers, cleaning materials, if you've got a pick-em-up truck, you can go and deliver stuff. And this is not open for the community. It's open for believers, for Christians, and to go in and love people and bless people. So I just want to say thank you. It's a privilege, and we're not going anywhere yet. Sorry for some. But we're not going. This isn't a farewell speech. But I just want to say thank you for the faithful people that serve in this church, that pray, that love, that encourage, that stimulate. There's nothing like it. And it's just thank yous like we see out front from the Fort Zumwalt South Bulldogs. For me, it makes it all worthwhile. So I just want to just read two or three verses, text real quick this morning, and conclude our time. Could everyone open up their Bibles to, or flip open your iPads, iPhones, whatever method of scripture you choose to find, Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And we're going to be looking at two or three different verses. And it kind of is choosing Jesus as opposed to everything that life has for us. In Genesis 1, 26 to 28, in the NIV this morning, Genesis 1, 26 to 28, the Bible says this: "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created mankind in his own image, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth." There is tasks involved. God has agenda for us. God has a plan for us. "Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." That is God's plan A, and he hasn't deviated. When man fell, he didn't change his plan. The same agenda from heaven exists for mankind. Genesis 2, 8 through 10. Genesis 2, 8 through 10 and 15 through 17, the Bible says this: "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden. And there he, God, put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, and from there it was separated into four headwaters. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" And that is the text that I just want to share with us this morning, for this afternoon, this evening, and this next week and week's musing, is why God does what he does, I still don't fully understand. God created mankind, put him in a garden, and he put two trees in the garden: the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he put both of them in the center. Now, any parent that's here, any parent, or a wannabe parent, or if you're a child and you have had a parent, why would you do this to your children? "I'm going to put candy right next to your bed. Your favorite candy. But don't touch it. Don't eat it. I'm going to reward you tomorrow. Don't eat the candy." What parent would do that? Yes? Oh, my goodness. Dana, could you just give the brief and amazing answer? Why would any parent do that?
I said it's a parent who loves their child because they want them to learn delayed gratification and self-control, because that will actually set them up for a successful future.
Yes and amen, and thank you, Jesus. So this loving father, perfect father in heaven. I am a flawed father. I have issues. No comment. I have issues. I have challenges. I am still working on challenges. We have had four children, three grandchildren, the four children, They're still in process. They're still wet cement, the three grandchildren. And our children, I look at them and I think, why are they like this? And then I remember DNA. Really simple answer. And so often in our parenting, we tried to keep our children from certain things so they wouldn't know about it, so they wouldn't be thinking about it. We just want to hide them away and, you know, keep them from. And many parents are like that. I'm not going to go into it. That's not the message this morning. And then as our children grow in life and they get outside of our homes, they have opportunity to choose. And some of them choose well. And then there's the other ones. But the Father in heaven put the first two people in the garden, and I would put the tree of life in the center. I would have put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the far corner behind barbed wire, a minefield, lions facing all around, packs of wolves all around, and some other really far worse, more deadly stuff. I said, if you can get there, fine, but you can't get there. Leave it alone. But it's there. God put both of them right in the middle. And he looked at his two children and he said, I want you to learn to make a great choice. It's right there. You can see it. It looks great per Eve. It looks great. But I want you to obey me. I want you to learn to listen. I want you to learn to trust. I want you to learn how to make great decisions. I want you to know that I'm a great father. And when I tell you something, I want you to believe what I'm saying is true. This is really, really good for you. And this literally is death for you. Don't do this. Whatever you do, the Lord said, when you eat it, you will die. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Yeah. It's pretty clear. But it's not just there's death sitting there. Children, son and daughter, I've got life for you. Amazing life. All you have to do is choose life and keep choosing life and believe me and trust me that I love you and I'm for you. And we all know the story. Eve chose poorly. And you can say, what is wrong with this woman? See, that's why women belong back here. The problem was the husband was standing right next to her. That's what the Bible says. And what did the husband have to say in the situation? Nada. Mr. Head of his home, nothing. He simply let the wife take the fall. What a great guy. And in fact, when it came out, he's like, it's her fault. She did it. See? What a great husband. But the same opportunity exists for you and I today. We don't see a tree, two trees. It's not like that. But Jesus said this in John chapter 5. The Bible says this. John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. Powerful passage of scripture. This is Jesus speaking. It's in white, and your Bibles, it could be red. It's Jesus' words. And Jesus is addressing religious people. Jesus is addressing believers in God. Jesus is addressing followers of God, at least in word. And Jesus is challenged by them and their hearts. And this is what he said to them. You've already read it probably. Jesus' response to religious people was, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. And yet you refuse to come to me to have life. And I read these two verses and I look at them and I shake my head and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with you people? He's right there. He is right there. And Jesus, his rebuke wasn't for them reading the Bible. That was not the rebuke. The rebuke was, all the verses, all the scripture point to me. The truth points to me. And you don't want me. Because I exude forgiveness. I exude love. I exude compassion. I touch people's lives that you say you can't touch. I hang around prostitutes and tax collectors and non-believers. And you're appalled that I spend time with people that probably don't know their Bible, that use foul language, that don't pray before they eat, that aren't followers of God. And those are the people that want to follow me. And yet you people, the religious people of the day, you read your Bible over and over and over and over again, but you don't care about the people around you. You just want to read your Bibles. And they killed him for it because he loved people that the religious people didn't want to spend time with. And it breaks my heart. And then I think, what about me? What about Tom? And I think there's no condemnation as I read the scriptures, but I do feel always when I read verses like John, I do find the challenge in my life. Say, Tom, I love the Bible. I love it. And yet I have people all around me, whether it's a school across the street, whether it's my neighbors, whether it's my classmates at school, that poor kid that everybody makes fun of, do I go sit next to him? Do I go encourage her? Do I invite her over to my house? Do I get involved in that kid's life? There's the haves and the have-nots. And Jesus spent a majority of his time with his disciples and all the have-nots in life. The people who didn't know God, struggled with the religious people. That was the bulk of his time, was with the have-nots. And Jesus simply said, I'm right here. You can come to me, but you'd rather just study. You'd rather just quote verses. And so still, there's two trees. I can pursue knowledge and information, or I can pursue him. And when I eat from the tree of life in the garden, which is Jesus, I have things to give away to people. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says this. Again, I love this verse. Paul the Apostle wrote this to a church, a challenged church, an exciting church, a powerful church, an amazing church. But they just kept missing the mark. And 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says this. But I am afraid that just as Eve, back in the garden, I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, the devil, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So Paul is saying to these believers, don't be like Eve. The tree of life is right in front of you. Or your minds, the pursuit of knowledge and information and more theology, more stuff, replaces Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with theology. There's nothing wrong with doctrine. There's nothing wrong with Bible and books. Please do not misunderstand me. But the challenge for me is that all this stuff gets the best of my time and my attention, and Jesus doesn't. And relationship, and presence, and worship at home, and life at home. That should get my very, very best. I had two encounters in the past. I was thinking about this, and I'll close with these two. I met with a multimillionaire recently. Could it have been you? He might not be in the room. I met with a multimillionaire recently, and it was a surprise meeting for both of us. I don't think I was on his lunch agenda. And so I'm meeting with a wonderful man, godly man, sweet man. And he's a little bit older than me. Yes, he was breathing. And we're just, it's our first meeting, and just exchanging information. He had a bunch of friends that I knew, but I had never met this man ever. And he figured out quickly that I was a pastor. And I had asked him 38 questions, which I can do. Found out a lot of information about him. And then finally, he says, well, what about you? He says, and then he just stopped and he looked at me. He said, how big's your church? And I gave him a number. And I was looking right at him when I gave him the number of how big the church was, this church. And he went, oh. And then he went on to talk about his church, because his church has 1,500 people in it and growing. And I know the church he goes to. It's an amazing church. But I just look at this guy, and he was like, oh, yeah. And I am dramatizing it slightly. It wasn't quite that obvious. It may have felt that obvious to me, but I'm sure it wasn't intended. And again, I was just reminded, you know, because he was a great guy. Great guy. And I was just reminded, how am I measuring success in life? How am I measuring success? Is it by how big my house is? How many cars I have? How wonderful my children are? How many scriptures can I read or memorize? I can read a lot of scriptures. How many do I memorize? Just how we compare ourselves one to another, bank accounts and everything. And I remember I was driving home that day, and I just thought, Lord, you're enough. You're enough. Why in the world would you have chosen me? There's brilliant, amazing, intellectual people that are just off the charts intelligent. Why would you have picked me? And I just felt him say to me, it's always encouraging to say, because I can shine through you pretty bright. Basically, I'm not competing with him for brightness. Yeah. And I was reminded on driving home that day of a conversation I had with a gentleman in the past, and he wanted to know about the church that my wife and I were leading and attending at that time. And he was interested. And I remember he started within 30 seconds of the conversation. He said, okay, what I need to know is, what's your eschatology? What's your view on egalitarianism? What is your eschatology? I'm going to forget all the words now. What's your soteriology? And what's your hermeneutical stuff? And it's 30 seconds into the conversation. And I just remember on the inside saying, this is not for you. This is not for you. And I just felt the Lord say, yes, it is. This church is for you. Because what we are interested in is getting people connected with Jesus. Because whether we come in addicted to porn, whether we come in addicted to alcohol, whether we come in addicted to spending, whether we come in addicted to food, whether we come in addicted to our information on our phones and our iPads, whatever the issue is, Jesus is the answer. Yes.
Amen.
And if it's just like Jesus with the religious people who were, you know, what about this and what about this? And Jesus just, it's okay. You can say whatever, but Jesus was there for the religious people as well. He was there for all people. And Tom, stop judging where people are. Don't judge. Just love people. I have no idea where, I don't know, 1,200 students are across the street. All I'm called to do is love people. All I'm called to do is deliver stuff, care portal. I'm called to deliver stuff to people and love them absolutely where they are. And Lord, help me not to become a Pharisee and a Sadducee that closes my doors to my neighbors, closes my doors to people. I don't want to be tainted by the world. And Jesus says, go ahead, spill your life, spend your life for people. Tell them about me. Show them what love looks like. Show them what serving looks like. Love them just like Jesus did. And so as we go through our holidays coming up this season, you're probably, how many people have an Uncle Eddie in their family? Anybody have an Uncle Eddie? Nobody? Just you two? Okay, three. We might be related. It's Uncle Eddie, four. Yeah.
They probably don't know the reference.
Yeah, sorry, it's a movie, Christmas Vacation. Was it Christmas? Yeah, it was Christmas Vacation. Don't watch it. Horrible movie. I still watch it every year. There's just those people in our family that just irritate us. Yeah, anybody have any relatives that irritate you? If you don't, you might be that person. No, it's not us. No, can't be us. So, Father, help me. Help us. As we move into the next 3-4 weeks, we're going to be interacting with people who typically wouldn't say anything to us. But the world wants to say Merry Christmas. The world wants to maybe invite me over. The world wants to engage in some form of relationship when they wouldn't normally because of the season. Lord, may I say yes. May I step into other people's houses. May I step into other people's worlds. Lord, may my house be open to my neighbors, my friends, my schoolmates, my classmates, my workmates. Lord, may Uncle Eddie come to my Christmas dinner, and may I love them and show them what Jesus sounds like, feels like, looks like. Lord, forgive me for my religious attitudes that keep me from people. Lord, that I would love people beautifully, not just in dropping off diapers and clothes and furniture. Lord, I want to and need to and am going to. But Father, may I also invite people into my world that they would hear about you and how amazing you are and how faithful you are and why I have peace in my heart and peace in my marriage and peace in my home. Lord, help me to tell people about you, that they would know Jesus is alive. Bless us over the next 3-4 weeks, Lord, for opportunities that we would be brave and bold to love them well, to show them the love of God, to demonstrate the love of God to them. Bless us as a family. Thank you for your goodness. And everyone said, amen and amen. Have an amazing week. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Encourage somebody before you go. Amen. Have an amazing day. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.